Texas Absolute Rally, powered by the Kia Ora Works team. Cordless tools tailored for the world of motorsport.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally. It's good to be back. Season 16, the mighty 16 seasons of Absolute Rally so far. Episode 1. Welcome along if it's your first time you've joined us. I'll be staggered if it is the first time you've joined us, because how you'd stumble across us these days, I really, really don't know. But we've got some hardcore fans who've been with us forever and ever and ever. Welcome back, everyone. It is good to be back. It is myself and Mr. Ryan Champion this week. Hello, Ryan Champion.
Hello, Tony Simpson. It's great to be back.
It is. It feels like it's been a really long 2 weeks for various reasons, but it feels like we've been off for about a month. It feels like the Christmas holiday that we normally have, which is normally 4 or 5 weeks. But I think it was probably the right time to have that break, because it has kind of been a quiet period for rallying, hasn't it?
It has, yes, since Corsica. There's obviously the break to Argentina, but I mean, I'm still pondering on the 16 seasons. How have we managed to Twitter on endlessly? Is that 160 episodes then?
No, because obviously we had the kind of crossover period of our old name and our new name and everything else. Obviously, there's a lot more episodes now of Absolute than there was total, but we weren't quite running 10 episodes, so it doesn't quite work out. When I was in our Button Monkeys studio the other day, which is the wonderful Al Sterling, who does our production, recording our new Stings, by the way, which you'll be hearing a bit later on. We've got a new competition, which you'll hear a bit later on, where you've got to name three vehicles and the link to them. Ryan got it right away. Of course he did. Where I was going with this, when I was in Alistair's studio, he has still got every single episode that he's produced for us all stored on a hard drive. And I think there was 138 episodes or something like that. And there was a couple which he didn't do. So I'm still working on the proviso. There's probably about 150 episodes that we've done together.
Still an awful lot of nonsense.
It's still an awful lot of nonsense. That's a very, very, very good point. Let's keep giving them what they want, because clearly they want nonsense. Now, what they want great guests, which, and of course, we've now got, it seems weird this, but we were quite flippant when he used to be a guest of ours. We used to have Grizzly Rich, but now we've got team principal at M Sport, Rich Milner, joining us a little bit later on. So I don't know whether we need to stand or salute. Or both, even. I'm not really entirely sure.
We have to treat him differently now, do we?
I don't know. That's weird, because I've known him for such a long time. I don't think so. Rich isn't like that anyway. But yeah, so Rich is coming up a little bit later on. And we've got our man over in New Zealand, who's facts and figures. Obviously, we normally share at the top of the program, and I am going to be sharing some Gary Boyd facts and figures with you very, very shortly. But also, he was out on the Otago Rally representing Absolute Rally, which, of course, Matt Osberg did. Obviously, Hayden did. It was the opening round of APRC. It was a massive historic entry as well. And there's a guy, Ryan Champion, who is a multiple winner of that event, who Gary decided he was going to have a chat with, a guy called Derek Aysen. And the reason why he's grabbed him is he's not just because he's won that event a number of times, but also he's coming over to do the Pirelli here in the UK. Yeah. So it's some kind of, I think it's the first time a Kiwi has come over to do an event in the BRC. I'm not entirely sure, or classed as a BRC round anyway. But so Gary's got a little bit of a 6-7 minute piece with him. He was runner up to Matt Osberg last week on the Classic event that ran obviously the opening round of APRC as well, the Otago Rally. So you've got Gary coming up. You're going to hear his voice, and he has been on the podcast before, so it's not a new thing, but you will hear his voice as well. But without further ado, I thought I'd give you some. I've missed these because we didn't do them every episode last season. So it kind of feels like we've had them sporadically, but as soon as he knew we were back, he was right in there. When was the last time the WRC Ryan Champion was this competitive? 22 years ago, that's when. There you go, explanation mark. Gary doesn't mess about. Getting into the fifth round of the 2019 season, no manufacturer has taken two steps on a WRC podium yet. The last time we got this far into a season without a manufacturer getting two cars onto a WRC podium was 1997, and it took seven rounds for Subaru to claim two podium steps.
Wow.
That, my friend, is a stat.
It is. It is a stat.
Yeah. So, So yeah, so there you go. So Gary's back, and hopefully we'll have something at the top of the podcast every week back again. But various bits and pieces been going on. As I say, we've kind of flippantly said it has been quiet, but there has been stuff going on. I suppose the big announcement, the big piece of news, I suppose, for rally fans everywhere in the world, and the outpouring of love, quite rightly, because he stirs such emotions because he wears his heart on his sleeve, is Petter Solberg kind of announcing a semi-retirement, not quite a full retirement, but certainly a semi-retirement ride from full-time competition, as it were.
Yeah, I think, like you say, what he's saying is he's not going to be out doing a full season in rallycross or even in rallying come to that. But I'm sure we'll still see him do the one-offs. We'll see him on the the Swedish Historic Rally, for example, that he likes to do. But a fantastic career. Obviously now a multiple world champion, not just in rallying but also in rallycross. And there was a bit of scandal, wasn't there, early in his career when he moved from M Sport, because obviously Malcolm took him under his wing back in, what was it, about 20 years ago, wasn't it?
1999, yes.
Malcolm Wilson sort of looked after a young Petter Solberg at M Sport, and he drove, I think, first an Escort WRC. God, doesn't it seem a long time ago now, an Escort?
Wow.
One of those old things. And then, of course, he went into the Focus and had a pretty mixed year, I think, maybe a good result in Safari. But then of course, he was stolen from under the nose of Malcolm Wilson by Dave Richards at ProDrive. And, a little bit of animosity, I think, at the time. But obviously, he became synonymous with the blue and gold of Subaru, so much so that, it follows through to his son now, driving for Subaru.
Of course, of course. I remember that period really, really well. And I don't know why, whether it's... it was the kind of the peak for me, because the BRC was really strong as well around that time as well. I just remember watching so much rally, and I seem to remember it's odd now because we've got such great access to all these different things, but I don't know whether half the fun was seeking rallying out as well at the time. I don't know whether that was half the fun for me, but around that period I seem to be really, really into it. And I seem to remember Subaru signed, it was Petter and Marco Martin, I think, at the same time. And I'm sure they were on some kind of weird car share. It was almost like, I suppose, what we got with Hyundai at the moment, where they kind of had, I think Stefan Sarrazin maybe have even been there. I don't know. There was somebody else who was also there, I'm sure there was. But Petter and Marco kind of had this car sharing thing going on. I don't know whether you remember that at all, right?
Yeah, like you're saying, and that was... obviously alongside Richard Burns at the time, and Tommy Mäkinen came into the team at a similar time, didn't he, as well? It was the new shape Subaru, if you like, the four-door Subarus at the time. And they put the two young drivers in there, and obviously they both came good. And, and Petter's always been... He's always loved motorsport, hasn't he? He's always loved competing, because, let's not forget when... Subaru pulled out of the World Championship, he was effectively left without a drive, so he put his own team together and came back first in a Zara World Rally car and then the C4 World Rally car. So he I think what did he do, something like three seasons really where he put his own team together before he had a year with M Sport back in a factory car,
which was staggering. Back in, I remember, I think that would have been, I remember being out on, I'm trying to think what event it would have been. Would have been Cyprus or something like that. The amount of time he had to put that deal together to get the Zara out, I think, was ridiculous, wasn't it? Because Subaru pulled really late when you think back. Was it late December or something like that, right? Wasn't it ridiculously late? But, in comparison to when Monty was kind of around the corner, so to speak.
Yeah, I can't really remember when it was now, but it obviously we saw all the Japanese manufacturers depart at a similar time. It was obviously tough financial times, and we saw Suzuki, we saw Mitsubishi and Subaru all go, which was, Subaru and Mitsubishi, but also Suzuki had put an awful lot into rallying by that time as well with their junior program, and it was a shock to see them all go. But obviously Subaru was a massive loss to the championship, and people still associate Subaru with rallying. I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this in the US, you think, well, Yeah, Subaru win everything in the US, but obviously it's a long, long time since we've seen Subaru at the cutting edge in Europe, unfortunately.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. But Petter has been on the podcast, and I really would like to try and get him back on and maybe for a bit more of a longer stint, because I just feel like there's so much we could talk to Petter about. So yeah, maybe we can put that together. We'll work on that. But the other big story, right, which we haven't been privy to yet, there was people who went to the opening of this was Titanic the movie. I was going to call it then, because I was just thinking of Titanic. Titanic the movie, which apparently was quite a big deal in Estonia, because Estonia is not that big. And he drove the World Rally Car through to the opening of it and everything else. Obviously, they're only built not far away now from on the outskirts of Estonia. And I can't wait to see this. Apparently, it's a two-hour epic. I've seen clips of it. And some great comments from various people, obviously, who we know from WRC Live and stuff like that. But it's not very often we get something like this about rallying, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, I can't even remember. Obviously, there's unfortunately, because of how things worked out, been a lot of tributes that we've seen of various drivers that we've lost, unfortunately. But no, I mean, to actually get a movie featuring a current driver, I don't think it's ever happened, really, has it?
No, I don't think it has. The one documentary which I kind of featured when I first came back with originally with Total Rally, and obviously now Absolute Rally, God, we've mentioned it twice already, was I did a feature with the guys behind Easier Said Than Done. And that was a documentary done in the States. And they had like crowdfunding and things like that. Alex Karani, who's been on the podcast as well before Co-Driver, he was in it with Chris Duplessis, who was doing the Junior World Championship back in the day. Now doing a lot of driver coaching out in the States. But that's kind of the last one I remember. And I seem to remember there was a Group B one going to be filmed with a lad who was connected with David Higgins for a period of time. I think David did some of the driving on it. I don't know if you remember that one. It was filmed.
Yeah, it was like quite a short one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I do now you mention it.
I never managed to see that. And I just love motorsport kind of film stroke, kind of documentary type thing. So I'm hoping it will be on Netflix or other platforms, I'm sure, will provide it. But anyway, listen, I want to crack on because we, as ever, we're working to a bit of a schedule at the top of the show, right? And I mentioned before about Rally Otago, obviously, Hayden Padden, again, somebody we're hoping to get on the show in this particular season as well. Dominating performance in an AP4 car on the opening round of Asia Pacific, obviously, in New Zealand Rally Championship rounders also as well. Staking a claim, he's also doing some rallycross. He's also took delivery of a TCR car from Hyundai as well. And Hayden Padden Motorsport are going to be doing the New Zealand Touring Car TCR Championship as well. So he's keeping himself busy. He's keeping the name out there. But I can't help but feel when I look at a 7-minute win on a rally, we'd really need to find Hayden to be doing something maybe outside of his own doorstep.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's great for him that he can do something. And I see he's set up quite an impressive new facility as well, new workshop. And I think they're based at a racetrack as well. So, he can get some good use out of that TCR car. We talked about it before, haven't we? It's such a shame that he's not in the WRC. He's keeping that strong relationship with Hyundai New Zealand. Whether that's a strong enough relationship to help him back into the factory team, who knows? I mean, where's Sebastian Loeb gonna go? Is he gonna carry on after this year? I think again we touched on this. It probably depends on how his form goes through the rest of the year as to whether he feels like carrying on. So it is a shame for Hayden. It's it's got to be hard for him, but he's competing, he's out there, he's keeping sharp, and like Craig Breen, Craig's another, and look what Craig's doing now, and fantastic results from Craig last weekend.
You just beat me to it. That's exactly where I was going to go next. Excuse me. What Craig's doing is phenomenal. I know he was quoted the other week in the press. People perhaps raising an eyebrow of the fact that he's only in R5 cars and things like that, but he definitely sees value. And to go over to you know, the Italian tarmac championship and go and win such a prestigious event, I think it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, it is Rally San Remo. We remember San Remo as a WRC rally. We remember all the stories of, you know, the Lancias, and it was gravel, it was tarmac, and the event that Roll won in the E2 version of the Quattro, the Bwing Quattro, and so much history to San Remo. And you know, as Chris said after the rally, as Craig said after the rally, you know, he is a rally fan, and he's really passionate about the sport. And to win the San Remo Rally for him is a huge thing. And the Italian Championship has always kept, you know, a strong competitive depth. You know, you've got the likes of Basso in there, of Rossetti in there, of Campidelli in there, all the super experienced drivers that, you know, have been competing on those events year in, year out. And, you know, sometimes they use some of those stages two or three times a year. So, I mean, they know those stages incredibly well. And I think one thing that probably helped Craig last weekend was it rained, and obviously from recent experience in Ireland in an R5 car, like, it, you know, the tougher conditions, if you like, probably played into Craig's hands, because they know the stages so well in the dry. They probably know the areas where they can push to the maximum. So, you know, the weather was maybe a bit of a leveler, and a fantastic last stage time from Craig saw him snatch the win. So, yeah, fantastic to see him, you know, winning everything he can in an R5 car. So, again, is it going to be enough to see him back in WRC? We talked to him a few weeks ago, and he was quite confident we'd see him in WRC before the year was out. And, you know, he's doing all the right things in the meantime.
Which brings us quite nicely to a fantastic entry for this coming weekend. The Easter stage is over in Ireland. Right, Craig Breen with car one. And but just looking back through the entry again, it's just another phenomenal entry of, you know, Alastair Fischer, Sam Moffat, Declan Boyle, Derek McGarrity, Manus Kelly, you know, Eugene Donnelly is back. You know, he dipped his toe in last year with the high end diet. He's back now with the first homologated right hand drive Proton. That's going to be seen out in anger as well. And just, you know, the events over there seem to be, and you and I have, we keep coming back to this, we keep on having this debate about costs of R5s, but you look at the entry list for this particular event, and it's just, you know, there's obviously money about. That's all I'm saying. There's obviously money about.
Yeah, but again, you know, rallying's never lost its profile in Ireland, has it? You know, it's still, rallying has a huge following there still. There's a big car culture all across Ireland still. People are into their cars. They're into, you know, whatever, not tuning the cars, modifying the cars, putting wheels on the cars. And a lot of that, you know, we don't see that as much in the UK anymore. Yeah, people like to, you know, still car shows, but there's not many people want to do anything performance orientated with a road car in terms of, you know, and certainly, well, I suppose we've got track days and things now, but, you know, you just, we don't, as we just mentioned, Subaru, we don't see many Subarus on the road anymore. We don't see many Evos on the road like we used to in the UK. And, but in Ireland, they still have this real passion for rallying, for motorsport. Good crowds, and that brings the sponsors along too. And, you know, it's fantastic to see that level of, like you said, the depth of entry, not just competitive at the front, but, you know, when we've got our five cars all the way down the sort of top 30, it's great to see, and long may it continue.
Couldn't agree more. Right, believe it or not, we're kind of gone headlong already into, because it's the first show back. We've got next week before we get fully back into WRC as well. As I say, we've got Rich Milner coming up. We've got Gary Boyd at the end of the podcast as well. So wanted to keep this bit particular a bit sharp. So have you even bothered to do any homework for any other business this week?
I have, yes.
Have you now? Good on you.
Of course I have.
Good on you. Right, go on, hit me with it.
Well, just a couple of things. I think It's been rumoured for a while, but Toyota have now finally confirmed, Tommy Mäkinen saying that they will build an R5 version of the Yaris, going to be based on the new model Yaris, which will be introduced later this year. So he's been quoted by Autosport today saying that they didn't have a suitable engine. That was one of the problems of producing an R5 car, but they believe the new engine that's in the new Yaris they'll see later this year will perform a perfect base. And look at what Toyota have done with a WRC car. I'm sure the R5 car will be will be something special. And there's a lot of Toyota importers around the world. You know, we used to see a lot of the old TTE cars going out to various markets around the world been used by importers. So I'm sure the Yaris R5 car will be very popular, so that's good to see them finally confirming that. And interesting things coming out of Kenya this week. Michel Mouton had gone out to have a look at the route and to meet the organisers of the proposed safari rally, and her comments were the stages weren't tough enough. Now this is, you know, I think this is quite interesting, and you know, we'll see how this one pans out, because you would imagine that the teams don't want the stages to be rough like Safari used to be, because then they'll have to build Safari cars and then the cost goes through the roof again. But Michel Mouton saying she wants to see the rally be more of a test and they need to find some tougher stages. So, what do you think? We'll have to see when that one goes.
There's a little part of me that still thinks it just won't happen.
Well, you know, as fans, we'd all love to see a proper safari rally in the WRC, but we know that's not going to happen. Never going to happen in a million years. So to try and fit something in WRC framework, you sort of expect, you know, them to use maybe smoother stages and smaller area and all the rest of it. And then Michel Mouton seems to be saying, I mean, she hasn't, you know, this is just Kenyan reports, but seems to be saying it's not tough enough. So, yeah, we'll have to follow it.
Yeah, again, and maybe that's something we could ask Rich about and get Rich's take on it. That would be a great place to go. So, so I'll tell you what, now would be a really, really good time. Let's keep this fresh. Folks, we're going to go to the little sting now, which you're going to be hearing. Ryan got it instantly. That's all I'm saying. So you'll hear the three cars, and then there's a link that links all three cars together. You know, to get in contact with us at studio at absoluterally.co.uk. Our competition winners from Dirt have already received their copies of 2.0. There's a couple more still of people still to receive theirs. So when you get them, share it about. That would be lovely. And folks, we'll be back after this break.
This is Absolute Rally with Kielder. Whether it's the car, the service, the tools, the mechanics matter.
There's 15 more seconds to fill.
That's it, Tony. Car sounds?
Sounds good.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. Have you guessed the link? Have you guessed the three rally cars? You know, to find out, you know, you just do a bit of research. Maybe bribe Ryan Champion. He got them right away. Anyway, just before the break, we were talking about various things, and we weren't quite sure, Rich, what we should call you anymore, because we used to be quite flippant. We used to call you Grizzly and things like that, Rich Milner. What do we call you now?
You should never change something that isn't broken, and I haven't shaved for a week, so it's still relevant.
Rich Milner, welcome back to Absolute Rally. It's been a while.
It has, yeah. That's probably the better for your listeners.
I wouldn't say that. Happy birthday in advance. We delayed doing this because you were still eating cake. So happy birthday for this coming Sunday.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to spend it on a plane tour. I'm looking forward to that.
Absolute no-brainer. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
The reason why we wanted to get you on, because we're not quite into a quarter into the season yet, but we're a few events down. It's the new role. You were being groomed, if that's the correct term to use, last year for it. I don't know whether it is or it's not. I could get myself into all kinds of trouble using that term.
Trained.
There you go. Okay. You were being trained for it last year. The role that you know, team principal now, is it everything you were thought it was going to be, or is it just 10 times harder?
I think it's you know, in reality, probably the job I'm doing now is quite similar to what I did for the last couple of years. But at the same time, I always had a goal that I wanted to try and be a team principal. And like I've said a few times before to other people, I thought it would be difficult to achieve at M-Sport because it's Malcolm's business and Malcolm's forever. I asked him at the end of last year if there was a chance, and with Seb going, maybe now would be possible to do it. And he kind of just said, yeah, go for it. I don't know whether he was getting over from a night out or something when he made the decision, but it was a real privilege to be given a chance to do it because it's such a big role. But I suppose in day-to-day stuff, there was a lot of going on in the background that I was doing anyway. But the role has allowed me to move a little bit away from the R5 program and concentrate on customers and WRC itself, which is ultimately where I wanted to be and what I'm doing. So it's been a good start, quite in places, and you know, new challenges come up and that, but at the end of the day, I'm just thinking of new ideas we can do for the team side of things and how we run the team and everything, and try to make little improvements here and there to make it better for all of us.
I was thinking about this because we mentioned this the other week, I think, when Scott Martin was on with us, and we were talking about Elvin and Elvin's kind of evolution through M Sport days. And I think I even mentioned to Scott, I said, you know, when I first knew Rich, I think I was buying Fiesta ST parts off him. So
yeah, I did listen to Scott. He was very diplomatic. I thought he was going to give me some of the experience.
Yeah, to be fair, you did near the original edit. So no, he didn't say anything. It went out as of course as it was. But I did, you know, and what I mean is by that is that Elvin is kind of part of the furniture at M Sport, and you've kind of almost, as he's grown, you've kind of grown in the business as well. And I kind of liken it a little bit to when one of the players at a football club becomes the manager. And that relationship, yeah, kind of the dynamic of that kind of change. How have you found that dynamic of drivers that perhaps maybe seeing you as, you know, as a teammate or part of the team, now seeing you as a boss? Is that felt a bit weird?
Yeah, I think that's probably, honestly, the weirdest and hardest bit to get around because, you know, and drivers, I have a fairly good relationship with all of them. But anyone that I always feel that anyone's the same age as me or anyone that's older than me, it's difficult to say that you're in charge compared to they are. But I don't look at it as being really in charge, to be honest. I look at it as it's a job, and the job is to look after the team. And if there's something we need to do, then we need to sort it, whether it be whoever it is we're talking to. But, you know, people say, well, what do you say to the drivers on the rallies, and how do you give team talks to your team and all this kind of stuff? I'm just honest to say, well, it doesn't really happen. You don't have these, you know, type pep talks, because the drivers know what they need to do. They know what the goals are. They know what they need to do to make sure that the sport can continue to be successful and that we can continue to be in World Rally. And our job, my job and everybody else in the team, is to do all we can to help them get the results they want. So it's not really, yeah, it's looking after it in some ways and telling them you can't have that hotel room because it's too expensive, or you can't go, or we can do this, but we can't do that. You know, we can still be involved, but it's not like I don't see it as a football manager type role, because I'm not picking who we're going to use. You know, at the end of the day, we know what our program is. We know what we're doing. We just need to work together to get the results that we know we can do. And if I am going to blow M Sport's trumpet, we're doing quite well because we've had two podiums on the bounce and we should have won in Corsica. So I think it's working very well at the minute. And my goal is just to try and find little things we can do in the team to make it better for the people that are working, whether it be mechanics, engineers, drivers, or truckies, or anyone. You know, that's the goal, is everyone working together to give the best they possibly can, because that's when you get the results.
Now, you've obviously, like you said, you've been prepared for this role for a while. But for people listening, you know, or maybe they watch WRC, they'll see you watching the stages, watching the split times as a stage evolves. But over the course of the weekend, what kind of official business do you have to do? What are the kind of things that maybe people don't see that you have to get involved with? Do you have to deal with the FIA? What typical things do you get involved with?
Yeah, hands-on role coming up through the business, which I see as helpful, and without it I wouldn't be able to do the job I do now, because believe it or not, in Corsica, for example, the first day I got there I spent half a day putting the service park up because there was a storm beforehand, which nearly blew the place away. So we just went and helped and put the tents up, and we were coming up with solutions for these new tents we have for things that we haven't looked at yet. Then I died off and refuel on some recce cars. Then I went and met the crew and did the stuff at the hotel and some emails. And then, you know, next day you've got scrutineer and you're making sure that the boys in the know that they're discussing things on the truck that we can change going forward. Then you might have some media stuff to do, and then you know, basically anything going on I end up getting involved in. It's not a kind of, it's not maybe this glamorous role that people think. You just turn up and you swan around and get on the WRC TV when they try to come and interview you. This, I'm just doing as much as I can in the background to oversee every aspect of the team. You know, we've got to deal with the customers still, so we're looking after them, discussing their programs for the future. So all that kind of stuff, like I say, trying to find new business for our five sales, all the way up to discussing what flights we're taking to Rally Portugal and what time we want to leave M-Sport. You know, literally everything going on is going past what I'm doing, which is what I really enjoy, because there's a lot to take in. But it's just, a lot of it is day-to-day stuff, and team principal side of it is the little extra bit with the media and promoting M-Sport and the rally side of the program. But, you know, there's still some fair things that get done every day.
Now, as you said, you've had a brilliant start to the year. You know, the car is clearly performing very, very well. We're not going to Corsica, but like you said, you should have won Corsica. I mean, obviously, you hope that you're going to be very competitive or the fastest car every rally you go to. But did you expect that performance, that level of performance in Corsica?
We knew we were capable. I think it was probably, well, it was for sure the best by Elvis in his career so far, because in the past we've had fantastic results, but sometimes in a position where we've inherited good results through other people's misfortunes, be it punctures or accidents or whatever. But this one, Elvin took the fight to Tanak and kept the fight. And what he did on Sunday morning against Thierry was unbelievable. You know, 16 seconds back again after losing 16 seconds the night before was incredible drive. And I think he kind of controlled that rally for 3 days, which he did in GB. But I think the level that he's at now, to control against the level that Tanak, Ogier and Neville are now, really shows he's almost, we see it with all the drivers, they always turn this corner at some point and suddenly can consistently fight each other at this top level, which is a good step ahead of, there's those four together now, if we include Elvin, then everybody else is just that little bit further behind at the moment, or not able to consistently keep up that top performance for the whole rally. So I think Elvin's really moving on. There's plenty of others that are going to be close. You know, there's every driver in that WRC car class is capable of winning. But there is, when you speak to anyone or listen to anyone, they talk about the three main people that are there for the championship. And I think, although we probably are not going to be there for the championship, we've shown we should be able to fight for more victories as well, which is what we want to do. So that was great. And Timu did a fantastic job as well. You know, we told him he had to finish after Mexico. And for me, the drive of his career was pretty much on the Sunday when Tanak was hunting down at fifth place and he kept him honest, which I think is really a tough thing to do when Tanak would have been pushing hard to make sure he got back that position, which he didn't manage to do. So, yeah, no, it's really, really promising that the car is obviously fast enough to compete against everyone. And we know that we have a reliable car and a strong car, and that will be key in the next couple of events as well. So fingers crossed we have some good rallies there as well.
Now, interesting you mentioned strong cars, because we just had a little bit of a conversation before you came on, Rich, and this was on the subject of the potential return of WRC to Africa, to the Safari Rally. And there were some comments coming out of Kenya last week that actually Michel Mouton had gone out and said the stages weren't tough enough. Now, I'm sure if Safari came back in the World Championship, presumably you would want to try and take a standard gravel car, or else the expense just goes out the window.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to be careful on that. And I spoke to Michelle about it, and other people have said their views as well. And there is a challenge in WRC, that the whole point of WRC is to test your car against the elements, and challenges like incredibly strong or incredibly tough stages that you might see in Africa or that we've got in the calendar now, like Turkey, they're all relevant, and it's a good challenge. And Turkey made fantastic pictures for the TV last year, but these events don't exist without customers and other competitors. And Turkey unfortunately wrecked a few cars last year, and that will be more difficult to persuade people, privateers, to come to those rallies, because if you turn up and your car gets destroyed, it's a very, very expensive event to go to. So there's an argument for and against having rough and tough stages. I think they have their place, but you have to find a good compromise in between that allows enough competitors to go year on year, but at the same time provide a challenge, which is what rallying is all about. So I think we need to be, we just need to be sensible when we do it. But finding new events like going to Africa and things is great. But I think the days of the rally that everybody remembers have probably moved on because of the way the teams operate now. But there's no issue in having elements of that rally exist. I think we need to look at the bigger picture for commercial side for the events, because it's so expensive for them to put an event on. So they need, as well as the WRC teams, they will rely on the privateer entries to be able to survive.
And, I think it's fair to say we have incredibly exciting cars with the current regulations, but they are expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And that's the other thing, when you spend a lot of these money on cars and development and parts, the rougher events you go to, however much you instruct your drivers that you have to drive to the conditions and be sensible, a driver will go flat out, because that's the only way to win, because the other drivers will go flat out. So the collateral damage is the car. And if you have too many events where the cost to repair the car is huge purely because of how rough the stages are, and you build a car that can survive those stages but needs replaced after 350 kilometres, your budgets go way over top. So you want excitement and you want the challenge, but you also need to, it's a commercial sport, and the WRC teams are commercially driven, and if it doesn't add up and for value for money, then it's difficult to continue. So you have to, I think that's what the biggest change in WRC in the last 10 years is, you have to consider every aspect, not just the sporting element, because although it's very important, we're all there for commercial reasons, not which are equally as important as the sporting side. So I'm all for it, but at the same time, you risk a rally that has a negative impact on the people that are competing in it.
Do you know what? I'd never really thought about it, Rich, from that particular angle. But do you think you guys, perhaps more so than the other three teams, have to think more about the commercial side of it for selling cars than perhaps the others? Because obviously the others, Toyota, Hyundai, and the others, they're in a position where they're perhaps not having to sell as much as what you guys are to be out there.
But at the same time, I think what I'm trying to make the point about is relevant for all the teams. You go to any of the manufacturers, go to their boards and say, we need this amount of money to compete in WRC this year. If every event we go to is we make extra tough to do, you could end up doubling your budget, which nobody is going to say, okay, no problem, sign off another same again for what we did last year, purely because we want to go to rough rallies and destroy cars. Perhaps that's a very one-sided way to look at it, but anybody, and the meetings I've been to, everybody's fighting for budget in whatever sport you look at, and getting it signed off is hard. So you have to make changes one step at a time. It was hard for me to go to a 14th rally this year compared to 13th, because it's very expensive to go to another rally. Yes, we're back to backing Argentina and Chile, but there is a genuine cost in that. Everybody's found the budget to do it. So we can do these steps one step at a time, but we just need to be careful, because the interest and the excitement from rough rallies is good, but we've had some incredible rallies on smooth rallies, you know, we've had some incredible stories, how close they are together, the results, how exciting tarmac rallies have been, which are cheaper for the teams because there's less damage. You know, we've got very, very good cars from all manufacturers that are very close at the moment, so let's not necessarily introduce something that's going to damage cars when we've already got a great show and spectacle. So I think, yeah, maybe the financial reasons are different for M Sport compared to the others, but everybody's affected by changes like that. So it's something we all need to discuss and decide on as stakeholders in how we move the sport forward. But whether we really need that, I don't know. That's something that everybody has their own opinion on.
I'm sure. Right, Rich, before I let you go and eat some more cake, I've got to ask you.
What flavour was the cake?
Yeah.
That's the question.
It was chocolate this afternoon. It was apple this morning.
Two cakes. That's what it's all about.
I've got cake coming out of my ears at the minute.
That's what, you see, that's the difference, right? If you weren't team principal, you wouldn't have had two cakes today. There is the real difference, Rich.
No, I'd have had four. People take a few photos now, so I can't look as fat as I used to.
As team principal, we keep on saying this. What events are you looking forward to most this year? Or has there been, was your dream event already happened? Is the one that, you know, you wanted to be leading the team on, you know, one that perhaps sticks out in your mind from your younger years or whatever, you thought, you know what, I want to be a team boss on that one, that's the one?
I think it's, you know, Corsica would have been fantastic to win in any event. If we win an event and I've been a team principal on an event, then that would be, you know, I've always set myself a goal that I'd love to beat next, and that's the goal. And once, if we manage that, God knows what's next. But I think the one for me is obviously GB, you know, with the move to where it is now. And lots of people that contacted me after the change happened to say that it was fantastic news and they were really happy to have been involved with me when I was in, you know, the local motor club in Exeter and all the people from down there that I knew and people that I've coded for over the years. And it would be great to see them on the event and be able to invite them in and show them around M Sport and give them a taste of WRC level. Because for me, I'm still, you know, I still want to go and compete on a couple of rallies this year just as a competitor because I enjoy it. It's my hobby and my passion. But, you know, I think you always got to look at your home event. So if we can do well in GB, it would be really good thing for me. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
I can't wait to see what events you wheel out a 2017 World Card on for your couple of events this year.
Well, I think
Rich,
It'll be more R2 if I'm lucky. That's my level.
Yeah, that's mine as well.
I'll give
it's
you
right.
A fight in your cat. We'll have a class fight. We'll have a category fight.
Let's do it. We had a tight one last weekend, to be honest with you. So let's do it. Right,
I
Rich.
Saw that. You're on form at the minute, so you're going to be tough competition.
I win in a second so far over the last two events. Not, I don't like to talk about it, Rich. Don't like to talk about it.
All right, then, let's move on, shall we?
But there was a reason why I wanted you on. Obviously, I'm looking for a third car seat. That's basically after two events, I think I'm at that level now. There you go. I'm putting it out there.
I'll consider it.
Thanks, Rich. I'm not bombshell. I'll let you go and eat some more cake. And then obviously I'll...
No problem.
I really do appreciate your time. Rich Milner, and keep that form going, because again, joking aside, as you pointed out before, great podiums, and long may it continue.
Thanks very much.
Folks, we'll be back after this break.
This is Absolute Rally. Ireland's leading commercial note supplier, Killian Duffy, has joined forces with 2016 British Rally champion Craig Parry to form On The Pace Note UK. For more information, visit the website onthepacenote.co.uk.
Absolute Rally, Derek Aitken, who's a 3-times winner of the Otago Classic Rally. And Derek, would you like to fill us in? How did your weekend go in Dunedin?
Thanks, Kerry. Yeah, we had a fantastic weekend at Otago. We the last 4 years we had 4 DNFs, so it's really nice to get a finish this time. The car, we put a new whole bay engine in it, full whole bay. It's 2.4 litre. We put it in a year ago. We've had a few teething problems, but this weekend it just absolutely was on song.
And so, for the listeners who don't know, where did you finish in the field and who were you fighting with?
So we finished sixth in the overall classic behind WRC driver Ned Osprey and just in front of our good mate Regan Ross. So we had such a good deal with Regan all weekend. We've been mates for years. We've really four drivers together, escorts, and you know, we started the last 30-odd K stage for the rally, only 7 and 2 seconds apart, by the lead and Regan. He did give us a little bit of time in the third race. So we finished that stage and beat him by 400ths of a second. So such an intense battle for second, and it was really good fun.
Yeah. Now, you've been involved in the classic competition at Otago for a number of years now. Has it always been with escorts?
Yeah, pretty much. I started off in a Toyota Star for a couple of years, and then I brought him up to an escort in 2000 and ran it for quite a few years. In the Otago Classic Rally, dabbled in Evo 4 for a couple of years. We luckily, you know, won the New Zealand Rally Extreme Championship in 2006 for that. And then we built this blue, current blue one in 2008. So we, you know, fortunate enough to win the Otago Classic 2019 and 11. So we're still part of the Investor Force one, but it's just a great rally, the Otago Classic Rally. It's just growing and growing every year. And I think the pace just gets faster and faster every year.
Yeah, as a spectator on the sideline, I get that feeling too. I don't know, something about the rally is extra special. What is it to you that makes Otago the X Factor?
For me, the X Factor would be the international drivers to come over. I mean, there's a whole hype, the HWRC drivers, the guys from Australia, Ireland, all over. I mean, for me, that's really special, you know, to see you race alongside Ari Vatanen, Michelle Raton, and Ned, all those cool names is pretty special.
Sure. Now, you've got something pretty special coming up in the near future.
We have. With Mirion Evans, that we competed with in Silver Fern in 2016. He won the historic section, we won the challenge. Became really good friends through that. He has invited us over to Wales to drive his historic BG escort in the Kielder, or Pirelli International Rally in the Kielder Forest on the 27th of April.
Right.
So, very, very privileged to be able to go across and do that.
And I'm just going to sneak a little sponsor plug in here. Kielder Tools is a sponsor of the Absolute Rally podcast. So big shout out to our sponsor, Kielder Tools there. Experience competing in roads and GB?
Zero. So we've been fortunate enough to compete in Australia. Our good friend Ed Mulligan let us use the SPLV, and that's been great, but as in UK, nothing. So I've had a look at some of the video, into our video, some place notes, and the Spanish shows look pretty cool, sort of look quite fast and flying, a little bit narrower than New Zealand, but they look pretty good.
Yeah. Who's co-driving for you when you go up to the Pirelli?
So I've got a guy called Dale Furness who's going to co-drive. I have met Dale, spoken a little bit, just on Messenger, and he's obviously watched a bit of my footage, did I need to tidy my driving stock a little bit, but, which I probably did, so I did try that at Otago to drive a little bit straighter, and it obviously worked.
Okay. So do you get a bit of testing before the rally starts?
I'm not too sure. Hopefully Miriam may have a plan for that. There is a test for a shakedown day before the rally, so we may do that, but otherwise it'll be a bit of a sit-down with the car, and it'd be nice to get a wee bit of seat time before the rally.
What are you hoping to achieve?
I haven't got a lot of expectations. I mean, obviously you want to be competitive, but I do realise that, it's a pretty famous rally and a lot of people have done it a lot of years. So, look, the main goal for me is to have a bit of fun, try and be semi-competitive and not damage the car.
From what I've seen, if you're driving here in New Zealand, Derek, the spectators and fans are going to be in for a real treat when you're on the stages up there.
Yeah.
I'd like to really wish you luck for that. One final question. Are you getting a chance to have a tour around the G check out some of the other rallies that are happening up in Europe or the UK, or is it just a real in-and-out trip?
It's pretty much in and out. We've never been to the UK ever before, so we're gonna have a couple of 3 days in Dubai and then across to London, where Mary and Ian will pick us up, and we'll just have a bit of a program in Wales, do the rally up the top of England, and maybe have a few days in Scotland, a few days in England before home. So it's a reasonably short trip.
So if I understand it correctly, the rally's based out of Carlisle in the south of Scotland?
Correct, yeah. Yeah,
it's
Scotland or Northern England, somewhere
out there, I think. Have you made inquiries about popping along to M-Sport?
No, I haven't actually. I haven't really even thought about that.
Yeah, you know the headquarters are only just around the corner, so it might be an opportunity for you, a Ford man from way back, to see where the current WRC cars are coming from.
Yeah,
well,
it's
something
I haven't really done much time
looking
at it, but it's something that, that's a thing that sort of sponsors Andy. Phil Mills from the city, not too far away either, so... I'm sure
Mira
will point us in the right direction.
Oh, sure he will. Hey, all the best, Derek. I'm sure you'll fly the Kiwi flag really proudly out there, and thanks for your time for an absolute rally.
Thanks, Kerry. It's a real honour to represent New Zealand over there, and we'll do it this weekend.
This is Absolute Rally with Kielder. Whether it's the car, the service, the tools, the mechanics matter.
There's 15 more seconds to fill.
That's it, Tony. Car sounds?
Sounds good.
Thanks for Gary Boyd, Kiwi Rally fan, of course, on Twitter. I'm sure you follow him. He's the man who gives us all our facts and figures and everything. He technically just puts us straight, but he also gives us facts and figures, obviously, which you heard at the top of the programme. Great to have him at Rally Otago last weekend. We're going to have some more bits and pieces coming from there. Obviously, it's where Mads Osberg was. Obviously, Hayden Padden was there as well with the AP4 car. There's going to be lots of stuff that'll come out from the rally as well. But Derek will be coming over to the UK and will be taking on the infamous Kielder Forest Complex. First time, I think, a Kiwi's come over or something along those lines anyway. But we thank Gary for sending that over to us and obviously representing Absolute Rally over in New Zealand on the Otago Rally as well. So it was great to have Gary as part of the team and obviously him sending in bits and pieces as ever. But folks, we do appreciate the download. It is good to be back. I hope you have a little bit of success with naming the three rally cars that are in our new Sting. And yeah, it was fun to record that. And it was a little bit different, something to do. But yeah, if you can identify them and, of course, identify what the link is to them as well, that's really, really important. But yeah, anyway, it's good to be back. There's going to be lots more coming up. Obviously, WRC gets going again, and there's various championships. Obviously, that seems to have been a little bit chilled over the last few weeks, which is why it was a good time for us to have our little 2 week break. But we're back now for the next 10 weeks, 11 weeks actually, because we are having a cheeky break right in the middle because I'm over on the Isle of Man on the TT. But that's a whole different conversation, because is that roundy? I'm not sure. It's closed road anyway. We'll go with that. It's closed road anyway. So yeah, so we've got a bit of a broken. We've got a 1 week break right in the middle of our normal season, so apologies for that, but something that I couldn't really not do, let's put it that way. But still, there you go. I'm glad that you're with us, and again, if you can rate and review on iTunes, that would be great. I appreciate that. Some of you guys are also on Podbean as well, and I do see the stuff on Podbean. It's really, really kind of you, and there's some great comments, and I do appreciate it. But if you could subscribe, that actually helps us massively also as well. And obviously, once you subscribe, you don't need to go looking for it. It just appears in your little podcast hole. But anyway, there you go. There you go. Right, we will be back same time, same place in your little podcast hole next week.
Absolute Rally. Powered by the Kielder Works team. Spread the word and download the podcast every week.